back within a couple of days, and this was basically what the email said. Brother, yeah, that's going to be hard, but yeah, I think I can plant 100 churches this year. They thought I meant each one of them had to do 100. I meant between the 12 they had to do 100. Well, we ended up the year 487 churches planted. So I just quit setting goals. And I just said, there they are, guys. Do what you're going to do, okay? And that was one of the things that they corrected me. In that my faith was too small. And see, this discipleship thing is a two-way street, guys. They learn from us and we learn from them. But you need to do these things for them. And then the last thing I want to share with you, number five, the fifth thing that we learn, or practical thing, is you need to lay down your life for your disciples. Lay down your life for your disciples. And one of the ways you do that is be available. If you're a discipler and you've got people under you and they don't have your cell phone number, shame on you. I mean, I was discipled by somebody one time. I had to go through 2 secretaries and 3 bodyguards to get to them. But they were my discipler, you know? No, you need access. People need access. There's an old saying, people do not care how much you know until they first know how much you care. So don't try to impress them with what you know until you impress them with how much you care. And you care by laying your life down. You need to be committed to them. I never ask anyone to give a commitment to me, but I make a commitment to them. And when people see that you are committed to them and you live that out, then they will in turn be committed to you. So don't ask for a commitment from somebody that you're going to disciple, but you commit yourself to them. And my guys know that I'm committed to them. I don't care what I hear. I don't care what they do. We told our kids growing up when they were teenagers, my sons, look, guys, if you go out and you get messed up in drugs or alcohol or you get some young lady pregnant, you come to us. You're still our kid. You're still our boy. We'll help you deal through this. We won't be happy, but we'll deal with it. You're still our son. You're still our... And we told our daughter the same thing. You know, if you go out and get messed up or get pregnant or, you know, get messed up in drugs or whatever you get messed up in, just come to us. You're still our daughter. We still love you. You're still part of the family. There's nothing you can do that makes you not part of our family. There's nothing that my kids can do that they're not my kids. I mean, when I die, they're still my kids, if, you know, whatever. I mean, they're my kids. I can disown them, but they're still my kids. And it's the same way with my disciples. I am committed to them that it doesn't matter what they do, they're still my disciple. Now, they may not be able to be in ministry anymore, but that's okay. We're still in relationship, and they're still my disciple because I'm committed to them. And do you know what that commitment on my part does to them? It frees them up that they don't have to be worried. If I don't do something exactly right, I'm out. No, they can mess up completely, and they're not out. Because I'm committed to them. Because I've been willing to lay my life down for them. Jesus didn't even kick Judas out, and he knew the whole time Judas was the one. Judas left. Jesus never kicked him out. Jesus was committed to him. Amen? You know, I'll answer the last question that's on the thing. What do you do when a disciple fails? You still be committed to them. And you help restore them. Spend a little more time with that one if you have to. But these are five things, practical things about disciple making. Number one, you must get to know them. If you don't know them, you don't have a disciple. What's their wife's name? What's their husband's name? What's their kids' names? What are they going through? Where do they work? Where do they live? What do they like? What don't they don't like? What's their gifts? What's their callings? What's their strengths? What's their weaknesses? You go down the list through my guys, and I can tell it all to you. And you ask them about me, they can tell you all of those things about me because we've gotten to know each other. Number two, discipleship is tailor-made. It's individual. Number three, you are to serve them. Number four, help them reach their potential. And number five, lay your life down for your disciples. And I'll guarantee if you do these five things and you do them well, you don't have to worry about who are you discipling and them not being what God's called them to be. Because, see, it's all about me helping them be what God's called them to be. There's been this kind of this warped, mixed up understanding about discipleship is that I'm raising up people, and I mean, we were taught this in the beginning, that I'm raising up a team that's going to help me build my ministry to be something huge. No. God's given me people that I can serve to help them be what God has called them to be. To help them fulfill their potential. And it's my prayer and my desire and my dream that every one of my disciples has a ministry much bigger than mine. That's when I'm a success. See, I'm a success when I help my disciples become successful. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you right now and we thank you for this time. Father, we thank you that you have called us to make disciples. But Father, for us to make disciples, we have to be in line with everything that you want. Father, help every one of us as disciplers to give our everyday life, our just the simple things of life, our just our day-to-day activities, just to offer them up to you as a sacrifice. And Father, that the most important thing in our lives is what you're doing, not what we want to do or our plans or agendas or what's going on. But Father, what you're doing is touching lives. Father, help us every day to touch a life for you. And then Father, just to give it all to you, focus on you. Let your grace and your mercy flow in our lives. And Father, we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.